Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
When the Hyde Amendment was first passed in 1976, there were no exceptions, so it was just a straight-out ban. Eventually, they added exceptions for rape, incest, to save the life of the mother, and originally including serious health. Then they took the serious health condition away.
Today's Hyde language, which has been in every annual labor HHS appropriations bill since 1976, specifically prohibits federal dollars being used to pay for abortions except if the pregnancy was a result of rape, incest, or the life of the mother is in danger.
That's Lori Rubiner of Planned Parenthood and Senator Orrin Hatch talking about the Hyde Amendment. It isn't what it used to be, but it still is a powerful legislative tool and has kept federal funding for abortion, for the most part, out of any legislation for 30-plus years. So, do you think it'll survive healthcare reform? Because it really is at the center of the big debate. You hear the debate about the public option, all of these things. The subtext of all the debate in the House or in the Senate on healthcare reform really truly is abortion and whether or not taxpayers will be paying for it under a new healthcare model. We're talking about the Hyde Amendment. Clark Forsythe joins us for the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon, December the 14th. He's Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life based in Chicago. Author of the book, Politics for the Greatest Good, Prudence in the Public Square. Clark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you.
Do you think that the Hyde Amendment as it exists today will survive health care reform?
Not if the health care bill, as it's in the Senate right now, passes. The Hyde Amendment will only survive, at least for now, if the health care bill in the Senate goes down completely.
Take us back, if you would, to what, 1976? Is that how far back we have to go to get to the original Hyde Amendment and its purpose in U.S. law?
That's right. That's when it was first passed. Then it was bottled up in the courts. And when the Supreme Court finally upheld it in 1980, it went into effect.
What exactly?
So we've had an effect for almost 30 years. I mean, 29 years now.
What did it say?
Well, it prohibited federal funding for abortion, and the version that the Supreme Court upheld said it prohibited federal funding for abortion except to save the life of the mother. Then during the Clinton years, exceptions for rape, incest were read into or enacted by Congress. But I think it's important for everyone to know that the Hyde Amendment only applies to HHS, Federal Health and Human Services, appropriations the health care, the funding for health care bypasses HHS appropriations. It's funded by other means. So to some extent, even if the Hyde Amendment survived, they plan to fund the new health care reforms outside of HHS appropriations. So there needs to be a completely new exclusion of federal dollars for abortion.
Are you saying that even if the Senate approved a version of health care reform that kept the Hyde Amendment language intact, it's still a real possibility that taxpayers would unwittingly be funding abortion?
Yes, exactly. If the current Senate version goes through as it's written, It funds abortion, kind of circumvents or goes around HHS appropriations. Healthcare, we think of healthcare being funded through Health and Human Services Department, but the way they're planning to do it is to go around HHS appropriations. So the Hyde Amendment is, to some extent, is a very limited bill and would not keep abortion out of healthcare if the Senate bill goes forward. And as you know, on December 8th, last week, the Senate rejected a exclusion of abortion from the health care bill, the Nelson-Hatch-Casey Amendment.
Okay, I guess that makes me wonder. The House, several weeks ago, did in fact attach an amendment with the help of pro-life Democrats, kind of standing the line there. They attached an amendment to the House version. Does the House version have the same kind of financial loophole allowing unwitting funding of federal funding of abortion?
The House bill, no. The House bill, there was an amendment voted to the House bill by Michigan Congressman Bart Stupak, Democrat from Michigan, the Stupak Amendment. And the Stupak Amendment excluded any federal dollars, any congressionally appropriated dollars from going to abortion, and an attempt was made in the Senate, that Nelson-Hatch-Casey Amendment, to basically apply to the Senate bill the language of the Stupak Amendment, and it failed last week to be approved by, I think it was a 54-45 vote. So, in effect, the Stupak Amendment was not attached to the Senate bill, and so the Senate bill moves forward, or may move forward this week. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is trying to get a vote by December 22nd on the Senate bill before Christmas. And if it goes ahead now, it will be passed in the Senate without an exclusion of abortion. And it is feared that if it goes to a conference committee, meaning that members of the House, members of the Senate, will meet together to decide to iron out differences between the House and the Senate bill, that the Senate version will prevail over the House version. So there's a great deal of concern about it right now, and either the Senate bill has to be defeated as is, or a new amendment is going to have to be attached.
It sounds like if it goes the way that it well might in conference committee, then those pro-life Democrats are going to have to decide in the House and the Senate, because both have to reapprove the bill, I take it.
Yes.
They're going to have to decide whether or not they're going to, especially the ones in the House, whether they're going to stand the ground they stood before. What do you expect?
That you're exactly right. Well, there were 240 votes for the Stupak Amendment. You need at least 218 to pass the bill. So roughly speaking, there were 22 House Democratic members who voted for the Stupak Amendment, and they will certainly be lobbied very hard to vote for a final health care bill without Stupak if this goes to a conference committee and then goes back to each House. As you said, the different bills from the House and Senate go to a conference committee. They try to iron out a difference and then send the one bill back to each House for final approval before it can go to the president's desk. And the lobbying is going to be fierce when any bill that comes out of conference goes back to the House.
We've been told by pro-abortion legislators in both the House and the Senate that no one needs to worry about federal funding for abortion and health care. It's not going to be a part of the health care program anymore. The Stupak Amendment was really unnecessary. We're told this, even to this day, we're told this. How would you, in a nutshell, respond to all that?
Well, it's completely deceptive and false. The Mikulski Amendment to the Senate bill funds abortion. So federal funding is there, and it's moving ahead as we speak this week. Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid is trying to get a vote on the Senate bill before the congressional recess.
I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but it seems to me that those in favor of abortion and those who've wanted federal funding for abortion probably for 35-plus years, are at the very least taking the opportunity of health care reform, the political pressures, considerable as they are, that are brought to bear on everybody involved in the decision, to try and make it a vehicle, health care reform, make it a vehicle for federal funding. Am I overstating the case?
Absolutely. No, you're exactly right. And they're flying in the face of public opinion. I mean, there is no groundswell of public opinion calling for federal funding of abortion. The majority of Americans oppose tax dollars going for abortion. Even the majority of women oppose tax dollars going for abortion. So there is no groundswell of public opinion generally or from women for taxpayer funding of abortion. They're doing by federally funding abortion flies in the face of public opinion.
So do you think that health care reform will once and for all give us federal funding for abortion, or do you think that things like the Stupak Amendment, the Hyde Amendment, and the other attempts to try and keep us from funding abortion will bring an end to health care reform, at least temporarily? Which way do you think it's going to go?
Well, I greatly fear at this point that the Senate bill is going to go ahead, and then the Stupak Amendment and the House bill is going to be overridden in a sense. So the Senate bill has to be defeated because it has no limitations on federal funding. And your listeners can find out more day-to-day at our website, www.aul.org, because we are lobbying this daily on Capitol Hill and are keeping everyone informed about where this is going and how quickly it's moving forward this week.
Clark Forsyth is Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life, based in Chicago. We'll have a link to Americans United for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Clark Forsyth is author of the book Politics for the Greatest Good, Prudence in the Public Square. Clark, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Todd, for focusing on this issue today.
Happy to do it. When we come back, the last half hour of Issues Etc., we'll be spending with Craig Parton of the International Academy on Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, author of the book The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. We're going to talk about what is, you know, this has not always been a formal pursuit, but every guy who thinks he can commune with God while sitting in his bass boat or out by the campfire has engaged in some kind of wilderness spirituality. We'll talk about wilderness spirituality. Is God closer out there than in here? Craig Parton will be our guest. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A duty to die?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
It is a well-known fact that birth rates in the industrialized world have been declining for decades. One consequence of this is that the elderly make up an increasing percentage of the population in places like Great Britain, where 20% of Britons are currently over age 65. Under such circumstances, population control and euthanasia proponents see the same harrowing solution. As the costs of care for the elderly continue to rise, the supposedly morally neutral right to die easily becomes a duty to die. Only a firm commitment to the sanctity of life can prevent this.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.